for over 130 years. The Catholic Channel SiriusXM 129 presents Conversation with Cardinal Dolan from the Catholic Center in New York City. Here's Timothy Cardinal Dolan and Father Dave Dwyer.
On this edition of Conversation with Cardinal Dolan, we'll be joined by Jeff Yaz. He's the managing director and co-founder of Susquehanna International Group. He'll talk about his recent Wall Street Journal op-ed piece about our educational system. Welcome to the show, Jeff Yaz, the managing director and co-founder of Susquehanna International Group, to talk about his recent Wall Street Journal op-ed piece, Money for Children's Education, Not Schools. It's time to stop writing blank checks for a failing system. Jeff Yaz, welcome to Conversation with Cardinal Dolan.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff, for being here. Cardinal Dolan, I'm the one that said we got to get this guy on because I was very moved over my cup of coffee and Bloody Mary last Thursday morning reading your piece in the Wall Street Journal, June 23rd, Money for Children, Not for Schools. Obviously, this is a cause close to my heart, Jeff, trying to get aid for our kids in non-governmental schools. And whenever I see something that is tantalizing and that I think is going to further the cause, I say bingo. And you said something in writing in a prestigious journal that I've advocated for a long time. Why not, if we believe, which American Heritage does, that the parents are the primary educator of the children, why not just give them the portion of their tax money back to educate their child in the school where they want? Those might be the government schools, the public schools. They might be a charter school. They might be a religious school. They might be an independent academy. And you said it, and you said it 100 times more eloquently than I could. Summarize it for us, Jeff.
Well, that's pretty much exactly it. What I was trying to make for years, since we've been making the point that the money should go to the child and the child can just spend the money as they see fit. And the parent has the right to choose the school, not the government. But what has happened over the last 30 or 40 years is that the amount of money that has been spent on schools, government schools, has grown so enormously. It has tripled in real terms in the last 30 or 40 years that the amount of money spent is absurdly high. So to give a parent, in, let's say in New York City, where it costs $32,000 per kid to go to school, I don't think a $32,000 voucher is necessary. And what I would like to see happen is the $32,000 still goes to the parent, but they might get a $16,000 voucher, which is more than enough to pay for any for most private schools, most charter schools, and most Catholic schools in New York City. And the other $16,000 goes into the child's bank account in kindergarten. He invests it conservatively, and when he graduates high school, he has about $250,000. So two things happen. The kid gets a much, much better education, the education that his parents chooses for him. And upon graduation, he has $250,000 that he can go to college with, that he can buy a business with, that he can buy a house with, that he can just save up and be a middle-class person. So we kill two birds with one stone. The child is free to choose his school, and he is no longer impoverished. That's how much money is spent and essentially wasted in most big city school systems.
And the government schools, Jeff, in the money keeps increasing and the results keep decreasing. We can't say it. Why? And you've mentioned this. It's time for an end to blank. You said it's time to stop writing blank checks for a failing system and reimagine the way we pay for education. And when I first read your second part of it, sort of warehousing, investing the rest of the money, it's somewhat similar to this that a lot of governments now are doing, where there's kind of a family credit to the children to be used for them for their education and then for their future. And that's the way you intend it, right?
Yes, although I would go even a little further, that the money could be used for education, but it could also be used for just having money to buy a business or just having the money to live on. The example that I want to give in New York City, if you're a mom with three kids, the taxpayer gives you $1.2 million. 13 years of school for three kids times $32,000 is about $1.2 million. So that woman who might be living in an impoverished neighborhood, going to a horrible school in a crime-ridden area, is in fact a millionaire because someone has given her, namely the taxpayers, $1.2 million. But unfortunately, that money is intercepted by the teachers' unions who takes that money and says, it's your money, except you must spend it on our schools. So you're going to spend it on a school that is essentially worthless. If you gave that money to the woman, she would raise her kids in a school of her choice, and she would no longer be poor. That's what we have to do. We have to intercept that money. I'm not suggesting we cut taxes or cut spending. I'm just saying the waste and the fraud that's in the education system gets returned to that, to those children, so they can start their lives out with $250,000 in the bank if they live in New York City, you know, a lot less in other cities, and go to the school of their choice. We must intercept that money before it goes down the rat hole of government spending. Mm.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. That is intriguing, isn't it, Father Dave? Yeah. Jeff, and you know, to those who would say, like the government school unions, the teachers' unions, oh, that's going to hurt the public schools. My research has shown the data that where you have healthy competition, in other words, where you have the rights of parents to choose and use their tax money for alternate schools, actually the government schools improve. And the enrollment decline is not graphic. Have you seen that same scholarship?
Yes, all the data seems to point that competition is good for everything. It's even good for the government schools. So when they notice that kids are leaving, they step up their game and get better. Also, under this plan, if you like your government school, you can keep your government school. If you prefer, you think they're doing a good job and you want to go there,
sure,
and that's where you went or your grandparents went, then fine. No one's stopping you from going there. We just want the government schools to have to compete with the Catholic schools, with the charter schools, with the private schools on a fair footing. Now, obviously, the unions are implying they can't possibly win that battle, so they want to cut it off and make it illegal, and that's what we object to.
And what's that say about their trust in their product? That's what I... Well, Jeff, why aren't you running for governor of New York? Come on. Let's...
Well, I live in Philadelphia.
Well, we'll take Pennsylvania. Jeff, keep up the good work, and I look forward to more stuff from you. Is your interest here education or more like better use of tax money, or both?
Well, my interest is where is the most dysfunctional government program in America, and it is the teachers' union. And it is the school system, and it's at the core of all the poverty and the hopelessness and the despair that we see amongst kids in our inner cities, because they feel they have no future. If they had a decent education and hundreds of thousands of dollars when they graduate, I think they would behave differently. They would be optimistic, and they would and they would look forward to their future instead of being in the current state of despair that they're in.
Jeff Yass, folks, thank you, Jeff, for your fresh and intriguing and magnetic research. Keep it up. We need you. That Wall Street Journal article by Jeff Yass was in June 23rd's Wall Street Journal. Way to go, Jeff. A blessed summer.
And you can find out more at yassprize.org. It's yassprize.org if you're interested.
Did you see the article?
I mean, it's everybody should see it.
Yeah, but I don't know.
It's remarkable.
Are you one of these? They tell me people don't read papers anymore.
No, I don't. I don't know what this is.
You don't even check the obits. You don't check the obituaries.
The guys I live with do.
What about the sports page?
You can learn all that
on
your phone.
What about the comics?
None of those. Enough.
What about the DWI column? Come on, we got it.
You know, there's not a column for that. When we come back, we'll be joined in studio. First time in 2 years. We'll be joined in studio by former gangster rapper turned Catholic hip hop artist Carlos Zamora, also known as C26. That's coming up next on Conversation with Cardinal Dolan on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Hi, this is Vin Scully. As a baseball announcer for more than six decades, I witnessed many greats on the baseball diamond. But I've also learned that true greatness begins with character and virtue. You can begin the journey to become a better Catholic, husband, and father through membership in the Knights of Columbus. Visit kfc.org/join and join online today.
It's the Catholic Guy Show with Lino Ruli.
I'm so accustomed to looking for something so wild, so crazy, so fun, that something as simple as, hey, bread and wine became God, isn't technically enough. For anybody to really believe that the bread and wine became the body and blood of Christ, and then you could say, I consumed God today. That's about as big a thing that could possibly happen.
The Catholic Guy Show with Lino Ruli, Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. East, 1 p.m. West, on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.